Do you sometimes say no to hope without even realizing it? Many of us protect ourselves from yet another disappointment by distancing ourselves from the very experiences that God is inviting us into. In today's heartfelt conversation, guest co-host Danielle Grossi and I explore why biblical hope is never a demand to cheer up or try harder, but it's always a gentle, persistent invitation to receive good things at a pace that feels safe. You'll learn to notice God's quiet nudges, release unrealistic expectations, and rest in the hope that meets you right where you are right now. Welcome to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I'm your host, Sherry Gregory. Are you tired of the overthinking, overwhelm, and exhaustion that can come with being a highly sensitive person? Are you ready to stop worrying that something's wrong with you and start understanding and nurturing yourself as an HSP? Together, we'll build resilience, practice self-compassion, set healthy boundaries, unlock your creativity, and learn to embrace, not fight, your God-given sensitivity. Let's dig in. Hey friend, I'm so glad you've joined me today. In the last episode, I shared that I was in the midst of receiving text messages from my brother because our father was in the emergency room, and I was deciding whether to make the drive to Southern California yet again. It's hard to believe that was 4 whole weeks ago. My father was hospitalized, discharged, only to be taken to the ER via ambulance the next day, and then sent home on hospice. I was so grateful to have a trusty new car with all the latest safety features to make the almost 1,000-mile round-trip drive for the fourth time in 4 months. And yes, its candy apple red color still brings me inordinate joy. Now, I did such a throw-and-go packing job, that I forgot my coffee, my prescription glasses, and my shoes. So for the 2 weeks I spent with my father, I wore the same pair of flip-flops the entire time. Now, since my eyes are used to me taking my contact lenses out around 6 p.m. every day, I did have my family send my glasses via priority mail. And of course, it was Starbucks to the rescue for a pound of espresso roast that I put to good use in my little electric mocha pot in my Airbnb room. It's a bit surreal to be circling back around to this episode of Grit and Grace after having experienced so much in such a short period of time, and I'll be unpacking some of it with you in future episodes. I will tell you that right now my father is stable. But for now, I want to say that these 4 conversations with Danielle Grossi, whose ministry is literally called the Heart of the Helper, these 4 conversations have been an example for me of what she likes to call the hope that you notice. You see, when we started recording this 4-part series, I didn't know it was going to become 4 parts, and I had no idea how much I would personally need her insights into healing and hope. But God knew. And although your specific situation is likely quite different from mine, I trust Danny, her words, her insights, and her gentle heart is going to minister to your heart today as much as she continues to minister to mine. Now, if you haven't had a chance to hear episodes 293, 294, and 295, I would recommend you go back and listen to those first. You'll find the links in the show notes. And you're going to hear us mention Danielle's beautiful new book, The Boy, the Boxer, and the Yellow Rose, because you're never truly lost, you're healing. Here's what it says on the back of the book. This is the sweet story of a college student sent to pick up a dog for his parents only to discover a frightened boxer abandoned in a crate, left behind by the very people who were supposed to love him. The boy doesn't walk away. He kneels. He stays. And together they begin a quiet journey of healing neither of them expected. With more than 100 expressive drawings, The Boy, the Boxer, and the Yellow Rose is a Christian fable told with gentle honesty that explores the sacred space between pain and hope, that place where love shows up and refuses to let go. Tucked within its pages are dozens of healing truths for anyone who's ever felt boxed in by heartbreak, loneliness, or sorrow too deep to name. If something in this story feels achingly familiar, if you've been holding it together on the outside but quietly falling apart on the inside, please don't stay hidden. You don't even have to whisper, "Come find me," because love is already on its way. It's right here in these pages, ready to meet you where you are and walk with you toward healing. You'll find the link to order a copy of Daniel Grossi's life-changing book, or a dozen copies, at sherrygregory.com/episode296 or in the show notes. Last time, Danny shared from 1 Kings 19, where Elijah hides in a cave, searching for God in the dramatic events, the earthquake and the fire, but God wasn't in either of them. Instead, he came in a quiet, gentle whisper, asking, "Why are you here?" And Danny shared how for her, that whisper was God's reminder, "I'm here. You don't need to isolate yourself. I will show you my goodness every day and fulfill my promises. Your hope can rest in me." I know that you're doing better from your injury. What does that mean to you now that you're kind of on the other side of some of that excruciating pain that you were in?
I catch myself sometimes saying no to hope, saying no to a situation that I'm not really sure how it's going to turn out. And it can be something as simple as my granddaughter saying, "Hey, I'm taking the canoe out on the lake today. Would you like to go with me?" And there are parts of me that go, "Well, I need to wear the right boots because I don't want to fall. I can't slip getting in. I need a life jacket." And this weekend, I just hopped in with her. It was so joyful. Like sometimes I think in our anticipation of what could go wrong or holding on to that hope, you know what I'm saying? I'm here. I'm hopeful. I don't want to lose that. I think the best example I have of that is right after the Boy the Boxer and the Yellow Rose was about ready to come out, Mike and I were driving up to our son's house, and he looks over to the side of the road and he said, "Hey, there are boxer puppies for sale." And I said, "Keep driving." And he said, "What?" And I'm going through my mind, there is absolutely no way in my life I can add one more thing. I don't need another complication. I don't need something that's going to set me back. And he's like, "We're stopping." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, we can always just look."
No, you can't.
No, you can't. And so here are these 10 little boxer puppies all loving on each other and so cute and everything.
And
Mike says, "I want that one." And of course, he picked the one with the biggest paws and just the big cuddle bug.
Yeah.
Had I gone with my first instincts, I would have missed out on this healing process of raising this puppy, kind of like abandoning some of my worries because I don't have time to worry about myself and focus on myself anymore. I've got this little puppy that is, I'm socializing and we're getting out and we're talking to people and, oh, you know, we're taking walks. And I would have said no to joy had I not listened to God saying, "You might not even know this, but you need this."
Yeah, I love that, because one of the things that as HSPs we have is called the pause to check instinct. All humans are supposed to have this, but we tend to have it in spades. Part of the reason is that we are constantly on high alert. And then if we're coming out of a trauma or an injury, or if we're in a healing season, that pause to check may have in some ways kept us alive or kept us from further injury or further pain. At some point, though, to recognize that we can't constantly say no to everything. And Dr. Elaine Aaron, who was the original researcher for high sensitivity, she even cautions us against holding back too much and says that that can become such a habit that we don't put ourselves out in the world enough. And this is from someone, Dr. Elaine Aaron is an extreme introvert. She says that about herself. If that kind of caution, don't hold back too much, don't become so reserved that you're not trying things that are new, that you're not allowing yourself to have these experiences. If the original researcher says that, I'm like, well, I probably need to listen to that. And she's not even coming into it from a biblical worldview. She's just saying, from a practical standpoint for mental health as a highly sensitive person, yes, we do need to take care of certain needs to pull back and recharge and have downtime and stuff like that. But what I heard you say is that you end up saying yes to an invitation that you might not have said yes to otherwise. You might not have seen it as God's invitation to this new way of healing. And that's so cool.
Don't you think that is a beautiful description of hope? Is God's invitation? Wow. To me, that is like boom, whether it's a new way of life or a new experience or a turn that we may not have seen. And it's, he always invites, he never forces.
Oh, so good. So good. So I'm just going to draw from my own personal experience now and say that disappointment has been such a challenge for me over my life. And for many of us, it is, especially because of my upbringing and conditioning to be a people pleaser. Being a disappointment to others was just so horrifying. And then the perfectionist in me, and of course, could never live up to those ideals. And so I have spent so much of my life bracing myself, like bracing for impact and being like, oh no, the hits are going to keep on coming. And, you know, when's the anvil going to fall through the roof? Just expecting the other shoe to drop kind of thing. And so constantly being in high alert mode, overprepared. But of course, I can be 99.9% prepared, and it always feels like that 0.1% thing is the thing that happens. And so, on the one hand, that feels very real. But on the other hand, I know from experience that I can trust God and that I can hope in Him. What are the clues that you notice in yourself when you're doing all this bracing, when you're bracing yourself instead of trusting God and responding to His invitation?
I really think that I try to complete this sentence and it's very short. I anticipate.
Oh.
And when I can define what I'm anticipating, then I know where I am on the spectrum. If I'm anticipating bad things, and okay, so how do I move gently forward out of that space of the hesitation? The worry, the fear. And then on this other side, I'm anticipating God's goodness in a new way. I think that when I complete that sentence for myself, it kind of redirects me.
That is a great tool that we can even do when we're doing that pause to check thing that's so instinctive for us, to have that as a kind of a litmus test to be like, where am I on that continuum? Am I anticipating something from a place of fear, or am I actually anticipating? Because anticipation is a great thing. There's some excitement and enthusiasm to it. Oh, I love that. Okay. So, what would you say to a woman, like our friends who are listening here, who wants to hope again, but finds herself resisting hope because she's just afraid it'll hurt too much and she just doesn't want to feel any more pain?
We have a hard time leaning forward and leaning into that promise that things will get better because we can only see the destruction or the hurt relationship or what is around us. And for me, hope really comes down to trusting a place of love again. So I think maybe that first step would be finding that safe space, just a space where love will stay, where healing's possible and not everything lands at loss. Like, where is that place for you? Is it in a relationship with someone that you can pick up the phone and just be super honest with? Because I really think that one of the ingredients to true hope is that connection. And I would say, how do you gently reconnect? That would be my question to her. Not one that demands, I'm going to have to go out and be someone other than who I am. If you are a very introverted person, find that one person that you can go sit on the riverbank with and drink a cup of coffee and you don't even have to talk to, but you're connected. And then it kind of progresses from there. We can ask that question, am I anticipating with love in my heart and love for God? And then who's going to help me be that hand where I don't have to do it all alone?
I love that. The idea that things are going to get better, it doesn't necessarily mean all better. And it doesn't necessarily mean back to the way it used to be, but that there will be healing and that there will be progress. And at least for me, this is where looking at those expectations again. I think I've shared with you, I had a back injury many, many years ago. And I will just never forget how much I had to shave down those expectations, down to those, again, those little incremental steps, so that I wasn't, I hate to use the term setting myself up for disappointment and pain, because that makes it sound like I did it intentionally. And I don't want to blame myself. That came so naturally to me. But I love what you said about looking for that small connection and starting in that micro step rather than trying something huge. So often, the women that I work with, there's just so much optimism and there's so much of a desire to be like, okay, now I need the plan. And they want a 3-month plan, a 6-month plan, a year plan. They want a checklist they can start checking things off of. And finding that person that you can call doesn't involve a checklist at all. And so in that sense, it may not feel like it's healing. It may not feel like it's progress. And yet that connection is the best thing that we can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love what you shared earlier about the hope that you notice versus the hope that you carry. You invite us to notice hope instead of trying to force ourselves to feel it. And I love that. So why is it so healing for us to notice hope rather than forcing ourselves to feel it? And especially for those of us who have these tender hearts and sensitive souls.
When we are noticing things, we are seeing those small shifts that can turn into big anchors. And so I think that that's the benefit.
And hope is an anchor for the soul. Yeah. So now I'm going to get personal here. What's a recent moment when you chose to open yourself to hope, even when you didn't feel like it?
Oh, I think my whole summer has been opening myself up to hope. The thing that I will tell you that I missed the most when I was just really hurting is when someone would go to hug me, my entire body reacted and shut down. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was almost like you kind of like held yourself and you were like, I hope this goes well. And this summer, I've been really opening myself up to not only just the physical part of recovery and of hope, but just getting out and doing new things and trying new things. We had a friend that was here from Scotland, and she was so funny. She looked at me and she said, you know, in Scotland, we're really not huggers. And I said, oh? And she said, but by the time we leave, I've decided I'm going to say, come give me a hug, y'all.
I love it.
And I think that's been the theme of my whole summer. Whether it's the dog, whether it's my family, whether it's God, hey, I'm inviting you to feel this gentle hug in a way that you never have. I just finally found the reason to say yes.
Saying yes and getting re-engaged, even though there's risk involved, but the risk of not engaging is worse. All right, my last question for you is, how does your book, your beautiful book, I always have to put the word beautiful in front of it because it is. How does your beautiful book, The Boy, the Boxer, and the Yellow Rose, invite readers to hope without demanding it?
When we look at animals, they're so empathetic. We can look at a horse, you know, we've talked about horses being some of the most empathetic animals that there are and how they respond to gentle control, right? We don't have to be in a rodeo every night. And I think that that's how this book comes across, that it's layered. My whole thing was, when we want hope, we don't need a should or a could. And yet we might need that gentle direction. And so I shared 35 lessons from Amended Soul that when you're ready, you can find that connection there. It's not a, oh, you've got to do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Miracle of miracles, you're going to feel so much better. It's, hey, you know what? Come spend some time here. Enjoy a story that you might not have initially thought of as a healing story, but dig through those layers, just like you dig through your heart. And you're going to find something in there that's going to resonate with where you are.
Years ago, I read that hope is a door that opens from the inside out. Like you cannot drag somebody to a place of hope. They have to choose to open that door and walk out. But I feel like the boy, the box from the Yellow Rose, is like knocking on the door, the outside of that door, and saying, "Come on, come on. There's something beautiful out here." It's not forcing, for sure. It doesn't demand. But it again is that beautiful invitation that says, when you're ready, there's good stuff waiting for you out here.
I think you absolutely summarized that perfectly.
You'll find the link to order a copy of Danielle Grossi's powerful book, The Boy, the Boxer, and the Yellow Rose, because you're never truly lost. You're healing at sherrygregory.com/episode 296 or in the show notes. And as we're wrapping up, here are a few reflection questions for you to process and even journal about. Number one, what is one recent situation where you recognize God's invitation to something good, but you hesitated or even resisted? What made that feel risky for you? Number two, when you're feeling apprehensive about taking a risk, how might asking Danielle's question, "What am I anticipating?" help you find a greater sense of safety? And number three, if biblical hope is always an invitation, never a demand, what is one gentle invitation from God that you're sensing right now, and what might it look like to say yes to Him? Thank you for listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I hope this episode leaves you feeling encouraged, equipped to thrive, and ready to open the door to hope. Be sure to follow on your favorite podcast app and share this episode with a friend. Now, if you're brand new to the whole HSP concept, come take the Am I a Highly Sensitive Person quiz. You'll find that link in the show notes. And remember, God created you sensitive. In Christ, you are always strong. If my conversation with Danielle reminded you that hope grows best in a safe, supportive environment, the Sensitive and Strong Community Cafe is here for you. We like to think of it as a wellness center for your HSP heart. Inside, you'll find a warm, private gathering place where you can connect with other highly sensitive Christian women who get what it means to be an HSP and who get you. To learn more, go to sherrygregory.com/cafe or click the link in the show notes. We would love to have you join us.